right. It's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Wednesday night, starting it back up in the new year. 2018 is here. Welcome. You don't have any choice. It's here. You're here. We're just going to have to move forward. Been off for a few weeks here, as have many people in some form or another with the holidays. I hope you had a relaxing and good time over the holidays. We've got some sports to talk about, though, as we've got our national championship in college football all figured out. And, of course, the hugest news of all is New Mexico State University now has their first bowl game win of all time since they had their bit of a bowl game.
So, congratulations.
Big news there alongside the whole Alabama-Georgia thing, which we will cover probably a little bit on Monday. But we got a big story from last night and from in the last couple weeks here. And, of course, that's Indiana basketball under Archie Miller. The new coach gets his out-of-conference games out of the way as of last Friday night, starts back up in the conference last night on ESPN against Wisconsin on the road, a depleted Wisconsin team already missing some players, and Brevin Pritzel went out in pregame, so they were down yet another player. Ethan Happ, of course, the star for Wisconsin. We'll talk about all of that and, of course, the Hoosiers to bat. But, Glass, as far as restarting your Big Ten season, we knew going to Wisconsin and going to Minnesota to restart this back up. It's a hard road. Minnesota, arguably the third or fourth best team in the league, and Wisconsin has been a house of horrors for the Hoosiers. But it just seems to continue, and it seems to continue in a way that has been continuing and we've been talking about for a couple years now, and that is the playing up and the playing down to who they're playing and where they're playing and the atmosphere they're playing in. And, you know, it's the most predictable thing in the world right now for Indiana basketball that they would stink up the joint in the second half of the game at the Kohl Center in Madison, Wisconsin. It is like clockwork at this point in time, and I don't know when it'll change. I don't know how it'll change. If it's Archie and it's going to take time, I mean, okay, you know, I guess we wait on that. I don't know. But what I do know is down the stretch of that game, they once again look like they just didn't have the hustle and they just didn't have quite the clue on where to go to get a bucket when they needed a bucket, nor how to properly execute a double team on the one guy on the Wisconsin team that you had to stop, and Ethan Happ. They couldn't get that done all game long against him and a bunch of walk-ons.
Got
to
play 40 minutes, and that's the key to all of this. And Archie Miller has been prodding and pushing and subbing and moving pieces around, trying to find things, trying to find sparks, trying to find guys that can be consistent. And with the exception of Juwan Morgan, there's not a lot of other places you can point to. The escalator goes up, the escalator goes down, and until Indiana figures that out, that's what's going to happen in the Big Ten, because obviously the coaching, the competition, everything else that you talk about in Big Ten basketball goes up. It's hard to win on the road. We know that. I don't think you can just assume you're going to go somewhere and beat somebody regardless of who they're playing. Yeah, that was tough. Wisconsin had guys. Even Don Fisher pointed out last night on the radio broadcast, Ilkanen doesn't play anymore.
Yeah.
Taylor doesn't play anymore. There was another junior that doesn't even get on the floor for them.
Yep.
Because whether they're either buying into what Greg Gard's trying to do or they're not buying into what Greg Gard's doing, he's playing other guys.
Yeah.
Playing guys that are doing the things that
the TV guys were talking about. These are walk-ons and names they didn't know, and they were practicing there, you know, an hour before the game.
And
they don't know these guys.
And that's part of it. And part of it is finding guys that go out and do work. And Indiana has struggled the last few years trying to find those exact same pieces of the puzzle ever since Yogi Ferrell left. So that's not surprising to me that Indiana is looking for it. It's surprising to me that it hasn't, the light bulb hasn't turned on, and you found guys that are looking for a sense of urgency, or guys that are getting after it. I think guys are getting after it, Dave, but I think it looks like, and we've seen, and I've said this for a couple of years, at times when it doesn't go well, they revert back to what it seems like they've been working on in practice and not playing basketball, running the spots, making sure they're doing their job, mm-hmm. making sure coach isn't going to yell at me instead of working and functioning as a unit. And that's what Archie has been mixing some lineups, mixing some playing time. He's trying to find ways to get Josh McRoberts involved, Zach McRoberts involved, because he likes the stuff that he does that maybe some of the other guys aren't picking up. But when you look at Indiana's roster, and I think that's where I'm going to go tonight on it, this is a roster that, with the exception of Al Durham, Smith doesn't give you a ton of minutes where you can point out he's part of it.
He doesn't right now. He's lost right
now. And Clifton Moore is just not ready to go yet.
He doesn't even play.
That's the point. So you take essentially the team you had last year and you add some Al Durham to it, a little bit more Josh McRoberts and Colin Hartman, who played a very nice game last night.
Right.
And you add that to some guys last year that you thought were going up and coming, we're going to develop, we're going to break out and get after it and do all this. And from a basketball standpoint, it hasn't happened yet. And I don't think 8-7, anybody's saying, hey, this is exactly what we wanted, this is exactly what we're looking for. And they've had tough stretches of play where they don't look very good organizationally on either side of the ball, offensively or defensively. And then you get these wild swings like you saw in the comeback against Notre Dame where they played great. When they're down, how many points were they down in that game? 13, 14 least, points in the second 13, half. 14 the first half, 13 in the second half, and they figure it out. So it that's what's frustrating to fans, and I think we touched on that a little bit before the holiday break, is the fans expect the down 13 against Notre Dame style of play. Why does it take you to get down 13 points on a neutral court to get that fire and brimstone and everything else going to it? Well, I think the simple answer is this. Not a lot of teams are going to let you do that.
Right.
A lot of teams protect 13-point leads and don't continue to freewheel offensively. Let's be fair. Mike Bray's Notre Dame team has done that.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Guess who doesn't do that? Wisconsin doesn't do that.
No.
Wisconsin makes you earn it. Wisconsin makes you guard it. Wisconsin makes you execute it and beat them. And when shots don't fall, when rebounds aren't gathered, I don't think Indiana got a loose ball in the second half. Those are just things where it doesn't matter who's on the floor. Everybody got a chance last night to make an impact. And it's not like there were two guys on Indiana's bench that were being punished for not doing this in previous games. Mm-hmm. Everybody had a chance to go out there and make an impact. And you saw Indiana really struggle to score the ball offensively. Would they have 53 points at the under four timeout, and they had 33 at halftime? You score 20 second half points on the road. Unless you've got a 20-point lead, you're not beating anybody.
Right.
The three-point shot again, Colin Hartman makes 4 of 8.
He's the only one.
And they're 0 of 7 everywhere else.
Yeah.
So you go on the road and you shoot 4 of 15 from 3, which is about what, 32%, 31%?
No, not even that, 26.
Well, okay, well, they're shooting 30% on the year.
Yeah.
So they didn't even hit their season average on that. Mm-hmm. And they give up 47% three-point shooting, which has been a constant. That's followed them wherever they've gone.
Right.
Home, away, you name it. Besides Youngstown State, 2 for 25.
Yeah, and foul considerations last night. I mean, Juwan Morgan had to sit out for a while. Deron Davis had to
sit out
for a
while. And
they gave up on Deron Davis. I mean, eventually they just said, you know what, screw it. You sit.
And they played some of their better basketball to take a 7-point lead with Morgan and Davis on the bench.
No question.
They had led 31-24, 33-26, 7-point leads and 17-10.
Back to your roster thing real quickly.
But these things are following them around. The shooting's following them around. The inconsistent plays following them around.
It looks like Maui to me. The opponent's better.
Yeah.
I mean, the last couple games we've seen were Tennessee Tech, who's 200 and something.
Right.
If you go by Ken Pom and all that. Youngstown State was 327th. They're one of the worst teams.
They're bad. There's no doubt about it.
So, I mean, those games don't tell you anything except that they didn't look phenomenally in those games either. But that's what it reminds me of. It reminds me how they're playing back in Maui, and you thought, and they followed that up by getting the crap kicked out of them at Duke. They didn't get the crap kicked out of them last night.
No, they didn't.
But they played a lousy second half. They didn't play a great first half simply from the standpoint of two of their most important players, and they're only two big guys inside, both got in foul trouble.
But I think that's where you have to give them some credit because they did not
have an optimum
lineup there, and still handled their business. They led for 13 minutes and 40 seconds of the first half on the road at a place they don't play very well.
You definitely give Rob Johnson some credit in that first half, and you give a ton of credit to Colin Hartman because he did. I mean, he did most of his work
five
in the first
seven,
half.
5 of 7, 3 of 5.
He came in and hit one at the almost at the buzzer of a shot clock. I think they had an inbounds play with 3 seconds left, and they threw it out to him. He did one step
which
is not what Colin Hartman does, but he did bury it. So I guess all is not lost. but it still doesn't look right in any way, shape, or form. You'd expect the offense to take a step back when you lose guys like Blackman, and when you lose guys like Bryant, and Ananobi, you know, played half of the year last year, but you know, he certainly is offensively, losing him doesn't help. So you expect the offense to maybe not look as good, but it does still look kind of discombobulated. Now, it's not turning the ball over as much, but it's certainly not more effective or efficient looking when you watch it play out there.
And the issue is not many guys can get their shot. So when the offense breaks down, they struggle to find baskets. And when Indiana does not get the ball driving into, through, or around the paint, when the ball is laterally moved from the free throw line extended towards half court, they're easy to guard. You're not putting any pressure on the defense. And the decision making that you see from this team, from some guys that have played here for 2 or 3 years, you shake your head at and you say, there were 3 guards last night that threw one-handed bounce passes, and they all were turnovers.
Yeah.
And I can tell you each play off the top of my head because I just watched the tape.
Yeah.
And Devontae Green gives you 10 minutes and turns the ball over a couple times and takes 3 bad shots. Well, when you've got your guards doing that, I said earlier I thought senior guards would be a huge advantage for
absolutely
this team to translate what needs to come off the sideline onto the court and make it work. And those guys are struggling to do it night in and night out.
But they're still getting the benefit of the doubt right now, because you mentioned guys, you know, messing with lineups and things like that, and that's exactly correct. Ron Davis got in foul trouble in the first half and barely played at all in the second half. Now, I know he's banged up a little
played
bit.
Played 8 minutes in the second
but
half.
But he is, whatever it was, you know, he has not been in nearly as much. They have been sitting him a lot more. Juwan Morgan, it was foul trouble yesterday. He's been playing his brains out.
And he still did play his brains out.
But Johnson and Newkirk are playing plenty of minutes. So they are not the guys whose minutes have suffered from this. It has been Justin Smith. It is now Devontae Green as of this game.
And that's why you go back to the roster
coming through here.
The roster
recently?
Construction, when your senior guards aren't perhaps firing on the level you'd like them to, whether it's getting you in and out, whether it's giving you energy, whether it's leading on defense, whatever it is, the substitutions now for those two players or their replacements or additions are Al Durham and Devontae Green.
Yeah.
That's a huge, huge step, whatever direction you want to call it. Josh Newkirk's been in major college basketball for 5 years. Robert Johnson has played every game for the last 3.5 years.
He played all 20 in the second half yesterday.
And he played a lot in the first half as
38
well.
38 in total. Yeah.
There you go. So 18 tells you how much he played in the first half. And it's not like Robert Johnson played poorly. I didn't think that was the case. But you just see the time and space decisions that those guys keep making when you're in tight games and you're trying stuff that maybe you just shake your head at and say, can we just move it a couple more times and see if you can find Morgan? When Morgan's 7 for 9, just throw the ball to him.
Yeah.
He carried you at Notre Dame.
That's
the thing. And he did it against guys that were good. And I know Ethan Happ's a tough matchup. Everybody knows Ethan Happ's a tough matchup.
Mm-hmm.
But where does Indiana turn? They've started Josh McRoberts. Colin Hartman comes off the bench.
Yeah.
They're trying, guys, and nothing's clicking. And when Indiana clicked in the first half and played really well, 2 things really jump out to you. They won the rebounding battle 14-10, and they had 7 fast break points to 0. Go look at those numbers in the second half. They had nothing, absolutely nothing. I've got it right in front of me, the second half box. Mm-hmm. Second chance points in the second half, 0. Fast break points, 0. None. And they had 8 total rebounds. And Archie Miller talked about that in the postgame.
Yeah, that's 8 awful.
Total rebounds.
That's awful.
And what happens when you have 8 total rebounds, you can't fast break because you don't have the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're picking the ball out through the net and going, well, that's another issue you have to talk about.
These teams shot worse in the second half, too, so there were more rebounds to be had.
And Indiana, I thought, played really well in the first half. I just watched it
With the foul trouble consideration.
That's even better.
No question.
That's
no
better.
Question about it.
They had good shots. They moved the ball. Did they hit a couple tough ones through Hartman? Sure, you've got to hit some shot clock busters. I get it. When they go in, they look great. There's no doubt. I agree with that 100%. But what they were doing, they got the ball out in transition. They got the ball off the glass. Those were things that gave them some space and separation. They finally hit some threes. Boy, isn't it great to make threes? Doesn't it take a lot of pressure off you? Oh, my gosh. 14-10
too bad it's only
becomes
one guy.
17-10, and then you've got some breathing room
right
against a team that constantly bothers you. It doesn't matter where these two teams play, it seems like, that Wisconsin gets after it. So when you're throwing guys out there, when you're trying to find these combinations to click, and Archie Miller talked about this, and we'll talk about it after the break, in these recent games, he still has problems counting on guys.
Yeah.
He's not sure which guy he's going to get each night out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, and you talk about putting in a new defense or whatever it is,
yeah,
they're putting in a new offense as well. They're not playing the same thing. So you throw all that in there, and again, that's what it is. But a tale of two halves. You have to play 40 minutes. We haven't seen Indiana really give that 40-minute benchmark yet either.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone of Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Programming note for you, the holidays are over. It's sad to say, I know, but they are. Which means things should be getting back to some degree of normality. For us, it means we'll be back every Monday and Wednesday for you. So we'll be back next Monday night. For WGCL, that means, of course, high school basketball all season long. And that continues with a big game this Friday night,
Darby.
7 o'clock. Chalk Talk is North. Hosting South. This is a big one. North has been playing some better ball, and South's playing some very good ball all year long. So this will be a big one on Friday night. And then if you check out our webpage, we've got a full season here of college basketball also. Played Butler at Xavier last night, which is a heck of a game. Xavier at Villanova next Wednesday night after we get off the air.
That could be a top five matchup if everybody in that those boys do their work. Well, obviously Xavier's done their work this week. He'll have to do it on the weekend.
Top five, yes.
And then Villanova. So
plenty of good stuff on that schedule. Again, WGCLradio.com. We're talking IU basketball right now. They lost 71-61 up at Wisconsin. I want to talk about, again, the roster right now because you're playing guys some minutes. We all know one name. Because other guys aren't doing the job for you when they're out there. That's just what it is right now.
Hey, he's earned it in practice. He's earned it in the games. He's doing stuff
three
coach wants.
Three guys that are high enough level recruits that they ought to be contributing at Indiana University in the Big Ten against Big Ten opponents played a combined 23 minutes last night. We count their points here because it's not many. It shouldn't take me long. 4 points. How many rebounds? Three rebounds combined. And that is Deron Davis, who got in foul trouble early, but didn't play a whole lot in the second half either. Justin Smith, whose minutes have gone down to about three a game. And Devontae Green, who is the biggest yo-yo you've got as far as play and time and thing like that. I'm not talking personally. I don't know the kid. But you just don't know. I mean, you don't know what you're getting out of this kid. Now, he was playing closer to 20, 25 minutes a game and even starting for a while. So he got pulled. He got Durham in there for a while. He's been pulled, although he's still seeing minutes. And now you got Zach McRoberts playing almost 30 minutes a game. Zach played one really great game against Notre Dame and was phenomenal in that game. But the bottom line is he's having to play those minutes right now without stuffing much of anything in your stat sheet. And yeah, you can point to something that he doesn't do on the stat sheet every once in a while. But it's not a lot. Let's be fair about that. And he's having to do it because other guys should be contributing or not contributing. It's good, I suppose, that Archie is saying to these other kids, hey, you're not doing it, so you're going to sit. And you're going to watch another kid. And even if that kid is limited, you got to watch that kid take your minutes. I don't know if that's going to do any good at the end of the day. I hope it does. Clearly, Greg Gard is doing some of that with his Wisconsin team, as you
that's
mentioned
exactly
earlier
right.
on. But at the end of the day, it was still Ethan Happ doing most of the work for Wisconsin. What bothered me about last night was the first 2.5 minutes of the game. How do we go into the game knowing Ethan Happ is the one guy that can beat you, and somehow you still manage to get Deron Davis with two fouls in 2 minutes?
Second one was a little soft.
No doubt about it.
The first one in the paint wasn't. I mean, that was right off the thing.
Yeah, but it's going to happen.
But here's the thing, and this is part about growing up. This is about sophomores turning into juniors. Where you have to know if you're late or out of position, you let it go. You can't just stick your hand in there and hope they don't call it.
Right.
Ethan Happ's going to get the calls. You've seen that.
Do we not have every a contingency year. Plan for Deron Davis having to learn his way through something he's not very good at this year?
If you tell
that's my question.
If you tell him to do it and you practice it and you don't let him do it in a game, I don't know how he gets the experience. I don't have the answer for that question. And I'm also not getting paid $3.5 million a year. The other issue is,
I mean, it's only one game.
It is only one game.
He is on a downslide.
He
does look as though he might be carrying some kind of knock on him. All right. We've seen this. So, you know, I hesitate to kill him too bad, but he is definitely on a downswing right now, not playing his best ball, and Archie's not having much of it.
Well, I think the chance was given. The foul spoke for themselves, so you didn't have much to worry about. In the second half, if you saw him, Hap ran him to spots, ran him off the block, took him out to the three-point line, and I think that's why he didn't play, is because Ethan Hap had his way with him. Now, that's nothing to be ashamed about in the sense. Ethan Hap's a pretty good basketball player.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got a litany of moves. Ethan Hap was being guarded at the three-point line last night because their scouting report said, if we play off him, he's going to pick us apart passing the basketball, is my guess. Mm-hmm. You saw him double-teamed and pick us apart, pick Indiana apart with passes.
Well, so if he's never going to shoot it from out there.
That's the point. The point is, if you leave him unguarded, and we talked about this right before the break, and I remember because Archie's next press conference, what was the first thing he said was a problem with Indiana? Ball pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants that. That is something they're working on. And if Juwan Morgan, Deron Davis, Colin Hartman, this all happened to all three of these guys in the first half, can't keep Hap in front of them from 20 feet,
right.
I don't know what to tell you.
Right.
So if you leave him out there and let him work, he's just going to take two dribbles and back you down with a running start as opposed to have you up front. My point is, he's a very difficult matchup. That's why you saw double teams at him, triple teams at him. You saw guys running from all sides to him because he's a difficult matchup and a difficult player.
But not in the first 2 minutes when arguably your most important player, arguably. We could argue it all day long. Juwan Morgan's your most important player.
I think Juwan Morgan's your most important player.
But Deron Davis, if he were to be going off, he's the one matchup people shouldn't be able to handle. He's on his own in the middle of the lane, not at the three-point line,
right.
In the first 2 minutes of the game with Ethan Happ, and now you lose him for the entire first half.
Exactly right. And you have to be able to play basketball without fouling. And if that's something you're going to have to play through and learn, you're going to have to do it. Juwan Morgan, when he was a sophomore, fouled every other time down the court. You remember this?
Yeah.
And we said, oh, my God, it'd be great if he could play. Look what he does when he's not foul trouble.
Right, right.
Part of it's learning. And everybody wants in this day and age to hurry up and learn quickly, hurry up and do this. I get it. I think Deron Davis is struggling for a couple different reasons. He's not finishing at the basket. He's not finishing at the basket against Youngstown State, their biggest player.
And it
6'6".
Looks like it was his hip maybe or something messed up.
I don't know if he got elbowed, knee or something. He went out of the game, I think, with a groin, they said, maybe in the Youngstown State game.
Looked like he was butting
his dragging.
Hip or, yeah, something.
And so if you tell coach you're okay and then you get two quick fouls, I don't think there's anything you can do with it because at one foul, you're not going to take him out.
Right.
It's one foul.
Right.
And it didn't work out. So in a perfect world, you'd love to have him on there, but Indiana rallied and played better. But what it did is it also stuck Juwan Morgan on Hap for a little bit in that half as well.
Sure.
And you make it go. But I think this goes to the roster question I brought up last segment is, if Deron Davis can't handle 6'10", 11 Ethan Hap,
right.
Who's next? Now you have to put Morgan, arguably your best offensive player, against their best player and hope the whistle and hope he uses.
Why is McRoberts out there?
McRoberts was out there last night.
I mean, he's not a good matchup for Ethan Happ, but
he gives them more physicality underneath the basket to grab some rebounds. That's the size factor. That's what Archie's comments were when he was asked when the starting lineup was changed. So he want and to be fair, you've heard nothing but praise from Coach Miller to McRoberts for the last 3 weeks.
I mean, the kid's earned his minutes.
About how
I'm
well
sure.
he's playing.
Yeah, but my point there is, if you're saying
I got
guys like Davis and Morgan on the offensive side, well, I need to be in the game to help me. Where can I buy some defense? Even if it doesn't shut him down, which I wouldn't expect, wouldn't it be guys like McRoberts and McSwain?
You threw in McSwain, and you threw in Hartman, and everybody got a shot at him. And Ethan Happ was 11 for 17 and grabbed 9 rebounds or 10 rebounds, depending on which box
score you
look at. I
mean, the kid's good.
He is good.
You got to double-team him.
You do.
You got to throw a lot of bodies at him.
And we'll take it one step further because they did not solve the Ethan Happ problem. But you know what Ethan Happ didn't do? He didn't throw the ball all over the shop.
No.
Ethan Happ got in trouble dribbling too much. He didn't get in trouble passing the ball. He ended up with 4 assists. I think he had 3 at halftime. So that was at least better.
Mm-hmm.
But the one-arm quarterback, Mr. Football from Minnesota freshman, lights you up for 14 in the second half.
Right.
So I know Deron Davis isn't guarding him.
Yeah.
I know that Juwan Morgan's not handling him. So you have these layers of stuff that happens. You shut one thing down. Okay, the Ford kid who came into the game hitting 11 of 15, his last 15 threes, hits 3 of 6 threes on you.
Right.
So you can tell a kid to identify all you want, and if you don't identify, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then who do you put in the game? Who do you put in the game for Deron Davis when he's in foul trouble? Who do you put if your backcourt's not getting the energy and the spark and the leadership you want? That's where Indiana is right now. And when it doesn't look good, like it did the last 13 minutes of this game when they're down, what, 46-45, and you can do the math out to whatever it was. I think that I guess they would have lost 9-0 because they lost by 10. That was tough because they threw in everybody at that stage to see who would give them a spark. And you know what? Wisconsin turned the ball over 15 times.
Yeah.
But here are the two problems that haunt Indiana.
That's about three times more than they do normally. I mean, they're a, you know, a 5 to 8 turnovers a game kind of program normally.
We've seen Indiana give up 17 three-pointers in a couple games that led to losses. Giving up 7 threes in this game doesn't sound like a lot. But when they only on 15 shots and when you make them in the middle of runs – sometimes it's when you hit them. Sometimes it's not how many you hit. It's when you make them.
Wouldn't you still rather take your chance with double teaming Hap and making them do that
point? And the Ford kid knocks down a three.
Okay.
Yeah.
Make him make four more.
Well, and he hit 3 out of 6, and he has 9 points. And the Davison kid hits 2 out of 5. So they go. Those two kids go 5 for 11 from 3, and the rest of our guys minus Hartman go 0 for. So they've got kids making plays.
So what do we need?
And what do you need?
What do we need right now? Because where we are right now is we got one guy that you can count on as long as he's not in foul trouble, and that's Juwan Morgan. You've got Robert Johnson, who's probably going to put some points on the board.
No question.
He's going to play most of the minutes because he's solid enough right now. You know, he does have games where he turns it over, but he, you know, 2 turnovers last night was not awful. He didn't shoot it great. He can get hot from 3. These are 2 guys that are going to be out there. Josh Newkirk isn't throwing the ball away like crazy anymore. It happens, yes. Doesn't happen all the time. You got a lot of question marks everywhere else. You'd love to get the minutes and the production out of Colin Hartman that you got last night, but he hasn't been doing that consistently, so you cannot count on that. He'll give you a solid play, just like McRoberts will give you a solid play. Hartman will put more in the box score. But everybody else, you've got no idea.
You have a lot of supporting actors. You don't have a lead actor. And I don't know if you fix that, change that, or make that the case.
I think we got a lot of extras right now. Not even supporting actors. I mean, they got awards for supporting actors.
Define them how you want.
We've got guys that hold people back on the sideline that are playing a lot of minutes for us right now.
The key is they don't have a volume scorer. They don't have a premium outside shooter. Mm-hmm. They don't have a post threat on a day-to-day basis that's not Juwan Morgan. So right. If he's in any kind of issue, is the roster flawed? The roster is what the roster is. There is no free agency. There is no midseason trade deadline where you can move some pieces around. And the guys they brought in, you know, these aren't top 25 national recruits where you expect them to play immediately.
Right.
These are guys that are going to have to learn and grow and try to figure it out. I mean, where's the hardest place to play in the league? Probably the Breslin Center, probably Purdue, probably Wisconsin.
Yeah.
You'll see some of it at the barn on
Minnesota's
a 5
no
or 4 o'clock. Well, it's a 4:15 up their time Saturday.
Yeah.
That's a little bit tougher than the noon start you get up there.
Yeah.
So, these guys are going to have to play into this stuff. And when your lead dogs, your senior backcourt, has a night that's okay.
Yeah, man.
Well, that
it's not great.
Well, you know what that is?
Yeah.
You don't win on the road in the Big Ten when you have nights.
You need better.
Robert Johnson hit his average, beat it.
They
Juwan Morgan beat his average.
They didn't kill
Colin Hartman had a career high.
They didn't kill you. They just didn't give you enough to win a big game on the road. I mean, that's exactly right. They didn't kill you. There have been games where turnover-wise, where your backcourt, where your senior backcourt has absolutely killed you.
4 turnovers, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, they had four between the backcourt and 4 for Juwan. So there's 80 or 12. Mm-hmm. Well, guess who handles the ball all the time and plays the most minutes?
Those guys.
Well, I can accept that.
Yeah.
I can handle that. I can live with that. But Colin Hartman gives you a career-high 18.
Yeah.
But you just plugged in all the other numbers of the guys that you expect to do things. How many more points do you expect Deron Davis to score?
What's better?
How many more points do you expect Al Durham, Devontae Green, Justin Smith to score, and Freddie McSwain?
What makes you more happy right now as an Indiana basketball fan saying, screw it, if you're not going to play the way Archie wants it, hold on, then you're going to sit your butt down and learn about it, or – hey, here's an idea. Let's do some different stuff and try to use what we got right now to see if we can't win a game or two like this. Because on the defensive side of the ball, you have not seen, I have not seen, and I don't have the subtlety of the game like a lot of people do, but I have not seen a zone thrown out there in any way to try to protect Jaron Morgan and Deron Davis. To make them available on the offensive end. You knew Ethan Happ was going out there. You knew you got a banged up Deron Davis. You did not. You put him one-on-one to start the game. You didn't even try anything on that side of the ball.
What?
And on the offensive side of the ball, I don't see a lot of changes. Now, I see some sets that are a little bit different that come out.
Absolutely.
You come out of timeouts or you come out of out-of-bounds plays. Okay, I can pick some
little things.
I see
a lot of
wide-open
jumpers not going. That's not bad offense.
That is true.
Don't forget that.
That is exactly true.
Don't forget that.
But I see a lot of the let's get up and down the floor kind of thing, and that is exactly what Archie said we wanted to do. We want to be fast.
Yeah.
We want to get up and down the floor. So the question still to me is, are there changes that they're just going to have to fight their way through and we're going to have to sit guys until they get it through their thick skulls? Or are we going to try to do things that these guys can do a little bit better and work with them a little bit more? Or is it nowhere in between? We're just completely missing it here.
It's D all of the above. And I think here's the reason why. You're 1-2 in the league. If you win 3 out of your next 4, you're having a pretty good. Well, that's the whole point. You don't throw in the, it's like the Colts. When you're 0-1, let's blow it up and end the season.
Yeah.
Well, or let's just play the other 15 weeks and see how it works itself out.
You do eventually have Penn State and Northwestern.
13 games
here,
in charge.
Back.
I don't think it's – well, 14 after last night, right? 8-7. 15 games. 14 games going into last night. 15 games. If you want to make any grand declarations, you're allowed to. You're a fan.
I'm just asking, though, you know, are fans cool? I think IU fans would be cool with this more than maybe some places would be. Let me use an analogy here. Willie Taggart gets a Florida State job. The Florida State football fans are not going to let him put in their offense and go 6-5 next year. They're not going to have that. As Indiana fans, we want to win, but are we going to allow him to go 16-16 if by the end of the year they see that his offense and defense is having an actual effect on the team and we're just maybe not quite talented enough to compete to win the games we need to?
I think the toughest question to answer is what is the issue? Is it the execution? Is it the talent? Is it too complicated? You talk about not playing zone. Well, if you can't play anybody man, how are you going to play anybody zone?
I know.
So you start with that.
Age-old question.
But
if you got no fundamentals, which fundamentals do you want to use?
But the point is, I don't think there's any argument that Josh Newkirk and Robert Johnson give you a better chance of winning than Devontae Green and Al Durham.
Yeah.
So you can't just do a wholesale, hey, we're going to flip this to try to fire you up. They do that in practice.
Right.
They get after guys in practice. During the game, you've got too many other things to think about, whether they're going to throw a chair across the floor or you're going to hit somebody with the bullwhip. You've got too many other things to do, especially when you're playing Wisconsin. It's a very, very detail-oriented team.
Right.
It is one game. It stinks that they lost the game. It stinks that they didn't give you the effort, the desire, the rebounding, the loose ball. Yeah, all that stinks. They were 10th in the league last year and added Colin Hartman and 3 freshmen.
Right.
And lost 30 points in scoring.
Yeah, 3 NBA games, or at least.
And I'm not even counting OG's numbers.
Yeah.
Blackman got 17. Yeah. Bryant got 13. That's 30 a game.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have a post presence to open shots up, there's 1,000 reasons why this doesn't work. You take it another direction. You say, what was good about this game in the first half?
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to the rebounding. Everybody's got a rebound.
Yeah.
Robert Johnson, I'm looking at here, the full game box had 0 defensive rebounds. You can't go on the road in the Big Ten and have 0 defensive rebounds. And then when your coach says, well, we only had 8 in the second half. Well, you played 20 minutes. You played 18 minutes, whatever the number was.
Mm-hmm.
That's stuff that has to get figured out.
Yeah.
Did Devontae Green go out and grab 100 rebounds when he was in?
No.
No, he didn't grab any.
0.
Al Durham grabbed 3.
Yeah.
Okay, he did something.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, there's too many something's getting done and something's not getting done.
Right.
And when it comes together, Iowa, second half, big run. Run away with the game. Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
That wasn't 10 three-pointers. That wasn't 5 3-pointers. They shot terribly from the
three-pointers.
There are 5 of 23 from the three.
It was really good defense that resulted in some fast break points.
And getting up the court where other teams can't set up and wait for you.
Yeah.
Well, what does Wisconsin like to do? Slow the pace down
and
make you work on offense just as hard as you work on defense.
Isn't that what Archie Miller's offense has always been, though?
If you pass it once and shoot a bad shot, that's part of the problem moving forward.
I'm just saying, but
I think that's what the problem is in totality. If you have guys that give up on the process because they need to make something happen, for whatever reason it is.
Right.
It doesn't help in a four-point game to take the first good shot you look.
A coach will play a guy who earns his minutes. That's why Zach McRoberts has started now. That's why he's been playing a lot of minutes. Now, again, I can point out that statistically he's not doing much in the box, and I can get 18 arguments about why he's still important out there, and I'll buy all that. But he's earning his minutes somewhere. So the fact that Robert Johnson and Josh Newkirk are still playing a ton of minutes, as is Colin Hartman, as many as he can, still tells me that senior-wise, this coach thinks the seniors are still earning their minutes.
Got 32 points from him last
night.
It's
the younger guys. Justin Smith has fallen off the map. Clifton Moore doesn't come off the bench.
Against Youngstown State.
Yeah, once.
Youngstown
State. I mean, if you look, it went like 3-3-3-12-3 as far as just minutes played. This is a 6'8 kid who can put it in the basket if you give him a chance. I realize he's going to make some mistakes. He's a freshman. I'm not bailing on the kid. I'm just saying right now the coaches are. He's barely getting off the bench. Moore hasn't gotten off the bench at all.
You know the reason
why. Devontae Green now, 10 minutes last night, 2 in the second half.
Lost on defense? Lost on offense? I don't know. They watch him in practice every day.
Yeah.
There's a reason
and
why he
doesn't
play.
The younger guys who are the ones who are sitting. They're the ones that are losing their time.
And
if you just look at the minutes, that's the way it's going right now.
The solution to this problem is going to be everybody needs to contribute. We haven't seen a night where it's, hey, just load it up on Morgan and Johnson and we'll be fine.
Right.
Tried it against Notre Dame, but there's McRoberts with 9 rebounds, mm-hmm. 5 offense, 3 assists, all that stuff.
Sure.
It can't be one or two guys. That's the fallacy of the team moving forward is you can't have all 5 guys fire on one night and only 2 of them fire on the next night, especially not on the road.
No, you can't. You just lose.
That's exactly right.
Got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. The Hoosiers from here. They go up to Minneapolis on Saturday. 5:15 is your tip-off on a Saturday. Gives everybody a chance to get a couple Irish coffees in them, whatever else you do up there before you go ice fishing.
And a freeze.
Although you can go ice fishing in Florida this week.
That's exactly right.
Weird enough. But
how north you are, how cold you are. Minnesota does play tonight. They host Illinois at 9 o'clock on the Big Ten Network. So mm-hmm. if you want to keep your eye on that for a
and again, Nate Mason
scouting report.
Nate Mason banged up, so they're missing him. We don't know when he's coming back. They do say it's a short-term thing now. They're afraid the way it looked originally, that could be
no structural damage, I believe I read somewhere.
But that's good news. I mean, I think every Big Ten fan wants to see. See that kid play. He's a
same
lot of
with
fun
McIntosh.
To
he had a knee thing too, and they sent out a release last night saying it's not structural, so it's day to day. Well, that's good because again, you want to see these teams play, and you want to see the best of the action, and you'll see a good one on Saturday because Minnesota. You think Wisconsin's good on the glass? Minnesota is
really
relentless.
Good.
Jordan Murphy was the player of the week in the Big Ten the first 3 weeks of the year, and I believe he's still averaging a double double. And he's not only averaging a double double; he's leading the league in scoring.
So,
and in rebounding.
I'll ask you the same question I asked you earlier.
Shoot it.
Do you just go out there, go man up one-on-one, and give Deron Davis a chance to take Jordan Tucker in the first 3 minutes of the game and lose him for the rest of the half? Or do you do something else? And if so, what is it?
And that's the tough.
And the fundamental question is this all learning process for the next couple years because you got to just get better at it, and the only way you're going to do it is to go face good players and have it happen?
There's two ways to look at it. Deron Davis takes up space as well, and Jordan Murphy's not going to take you outside. Mm-hmm. He does all his work around the basket. I don't think he handles it or passes it as well. I don't even know if that's the matchup. He might be too active for Davis.
Right.
You don't want Davis chasing shadows. That's the one thing that I think if any Indiana fan could wrap their head around, Davis has lost a bunch of weight, does not equal he is super quick all of a sudden.
He's not a perimeter defender.
He's quicker than he was.
Right.
And
he's clearly banged up.
And
there's something going on there.
That's fine, but to your matchup point, I don't know if that's the right matchup. I don't know if I want to put Juwan Morgan on him. Do you put McRoberts on him to bother him? I don't know what that is. And it'll be interesting to see because they're active. They're long. They get after it. They rebound together. Mm-hmm. They have no problem getting after it together. But, again, they went and laid an egg. They were down 24 at Nebraska. I watched the game.
Yeah.
And this was when everybody was healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a team that they made a huge leap last year. And a lot of those guys are back. Yes, they do have some front court physicality. And you think Indiana does as well. And here's what I want to see. Don't get in foul trouble in the first 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, or 5 minutes. If a guy's going to beat you, let him go. Let him score because the thing that drives me crazy, you foul a guy, save a layup. No, you still have a foul.
Yeah.
You can't take the foul away from that. And unless it's the last 30 seconds and you're up three and you foul, that's
like
fine.
Like the Notre Dame game.
Exactly.
When it worked in your favor.
So, but what does Indiana have to – here's what Indiana can't do. Indiana can't go out and shoot 4-27 from the three-point line.
Yeah.
Indiana can't go out and get out-rebounded by 15. Indiana can't go out and shoot 40% for the game from the field. Those are things they cannot do.
Can this team win in the Big Ten if it can't score more than 5 3-pointers in a game on average? Can it go out there and go three for 12 and not be okay?
I think that's to the point. The Knights, they're going to make shots. They're going to have to take advantage of making them.
Right.
They're going to need to find ways
to get through that. But my point there was, you said 4-27. There are times this team in the past has just kept fire. But if they go 3-for-12 and get it done inside all night long, can that win you in the Big Ten, or do you have to be able to knock it down out there?
I think you need to be able to knock it down out there, because it opens up what you want to do inside. I don't think you go from the three-point line in. I think you go the other direction.
It opens up.
But you have to – if you don't have balance, you're dead.
Right.
If you're a one-trick pony, you're not going to beat anybody.
Hey, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll be back Monday night, so tune in then. Remember, Friday night, high school basketball, South at North, 7 o'clock Chalk Talk. Join us then also, and we will talk to you Monday. You've been in the zone.